Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Del for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And I found it interesting. I don't know how interesting you're going to find it. Who do you think is the second favorite for MVP right now?
It's not Nico.
It's not Nico.
No.
It should be Nico.
I think it's Jaden at 12-1.
It's not Jaden.
Hold on. It's not CJ.
It's CJ. Patrick Mahomes, 5-2. CJ, 13-2. Lamar Jackson, 7-1. Josh Allen dropped to 8-1. Jaden Daniels up to 9-1. He was 45-1 last week,
CJ, and he's
9-1. CJ.
Well, second. I mean, they're 4-1.
Yeah.
And he's the quarterback, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not a great year, to tell you the truth. Pat Mahomes is not playing great. He doesn't have the numbers.
He's actually playing pretty well. He just doesn't have a lot of touchdown numbers. You know, you think about it. Xavier Worthy has had two touchdowns that were runs. He's got two running touchdowns in the little jet sweep.
Yep.
He's gotten, you know, they've given up. They just had a touchdown they scored the other day on a zone read by Travis Kelce. Took the snap and ran a zone read down by the goal line. So some of these touchdowns that used to automatically be touchdowns for Mahomes and his column. You know, he's moving the team down the field, but they're not. But he's not getting the final, you know, it's like he's not getting the home runs.
Yeah.
It's like a home run total that he's not getting.
Nico's not even on the board, and which is a shame because
Nico should be ahead of CJ.
He should be.
Yeah. Nico's played better.
Well, but you know, I mean, look at it's Mahomes, Stroud, Jackson, Allen, Daniels, Darnold, Purdy, Burrow, Prescott, Goff, Cousins, Hurts.
It's a quarterback.
It's a quarterback award.
Realistically,
Saquon Barkley is the first, and then Justin Jefferson the
realistically,
second.
Realistically, they should be higher.
At 75-1.
Then how can then no wide receiver should ever win a Heisman or anything? Of course, quarterbacks are going to have more passing yards. Who has played better relative to expectations? Who has been the best player on the Texans up to this point?
The best player has been Nico.
Okay.
And
then he should get the consideration ahead of CJ for MVP.
Yeah, he's not going to. That's not going to happen.
It doesn't happen, but he really should. Nico's been that good.
Oh, yeah. He absolutely has been that good. Comeback player of the year right now, it's Kirk Cousins as your leader. Sam Darnold second. Aaron Rodgers just fallen to third. Joe Burrow, DeMar Hamlin. Offensive player of the year. You would think Nico would show up here. Not even on the board.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. Oh no, Nico. Excuse me. Nico is absolutely on the board. He's fifth.
Yeah, but he's not top three.
He's not top three. Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Nico Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry's having himself a hell of a year.
I knew he was going to be a good pickup in that offense. I just wondered how they would utilize him because he's a downhill runner. And like one of the things they did was a pitch out. They had him offset.
He's
they
over 30, though. I mean, he is an outlier.
Oh, no. Well, he's a physical outlier. Everything about him is an outlier. A 250 or 260-pound guy that can run faster than 200-pound guys is an outlier. The ability.
But by this time, usually guys are on a decline. He's having a hell of a year.
Well, no, he's.
And that offensive line, let's not forget, they lost a couple of guys on that offensive line.
Yeah.
So to figure that he was going to be doing what he's doing now would.
Yeah, but Lamar Jackson makes things easier because people have to also scheme for Lamar, so it makes it easier. And I don't know. Last year, when I watched Derrick Henry, his issues were because he couldn't get started. The offensive line was so bad. I didn't see him as, like, losing a step. I saw it as they were on top of him quick. The Titans are not good. But, yeah, Coach of the Year, DeMeco, has slid off a little bit, which is kind of crazy. I think he's.
Robert Saleh, he slid off.
Yeah.
He's, yeah.
Kevin O'Connell's the favorite
right
now.
Yeah, Kevin O'Connell, Dan Quinn, Sean Payton, Mike McDonald, Jim Harbaugh, Raheem Morris, Dan Campbell, D'Amico at 22-1 now.
8-4-1, and that's where he is. Yeah. Isn't that a little strange?
Well, I mean, Kevin O'Connell story.
Expectations for the Houston Texans, they can't cover.
Yeah.
You got to be able to cover the point spread to be coach of the year.
And they just don't.
They just don't cover.
They finally got their first cover this week. 1-4 against the spread.
And I mean, how are you going to win coach of the year if you're not covering?
Well, and if you're not exceeding expectations.
Well, and the spread is expectations.
Yeah, it's expectations.
And you're following. Yeah, it's not like a lot is concerned. People have high hopes for the Texans, and they're not winning with style points. So that's probably some of it.
Robert Saleh really sucked on those two throws by Aaron Rodgers. Those two interceptions. Robert Saleh was terrible there.
There's a lot of blowback and pushback to Robert Saleh being fired because, you know, his defense is good. It's the fact is, though, the buck stops there.
Well, and here's the thing.
Because Nathaniel Hackett should be out as offensive coordinator.
Okay, so Ulbrich takes over, and he's got to call the defense now, which Saleh was doing. And he's got to be the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you might be putting a little bit much on this
D'Amico?
Guy. D'Amico? Yeah. Well, but D'Amico at least was calling the defense before. Ulbrich wasn't.
Oh, Jeff Ulbrich. Yeah.
He's got to call the defense now and be the head coach.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy.
No.
Anytime you fire, people don't understand. When you fire a coordinator or a head coach in the middle of the year, it is a major, major undertaking to replace them. I mean, their jobs are huge. A coordinator's job is huge. And now you're taking somebody else out of another position group and asking them basically to do two jobs. It is a massive undertaking. Or a head coach to do two jobs. Yeah, firing coaches puts an incredible burden on the staff.
Listen, there's no question.
Do you think they should have fired Robert Saleh?
No, I don't.
I don't think so, but I also am not surprised. I mean, they're disappointing again. They're disappointing again, and I think wherever Aaron Rodgers goes, he's become a cancer because he and Mike McCarthy didn't get along. They didn't get along for the last 3 or 4 years Aaron Rodgers was there. It was an issue in their building. Then you have with the Jets, he comes in, and suppose there's a list of demands that he has. He's like, what? No, there's not. There's no demands. Yeah. And then Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, they all get signed.
Right.
Nathaniel Hackett, his personal friendship king is right there as the coordinator. It's like Aaron Rodgers, I think, is responsible for this. And then you see Aaron Rodgers
with
the weird move that he and Saleh had where he tried not to hug Saleh. I wrote that off as maybe awkward, you know, just an awkward thing.
I could understand Rodgers. It's the second quarter, and you just, what are you hugging? Wait, with this game, we got a long game here. What? I'm not hugging you.
But you're just excited about a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, he might not be a hugger. I don't know. He might have been on shrooms or something. Maybe he only hugs when he's on the mushrooms. I don't know. Saleh is 20-36.
No.
Of course, he didn't have a quarterback, though.
It's not.
He hasn't had a quarterback.
Right, but it's not crazy. No, I know, but that's, oh well.
Yeah, well.
It's not crazy for a head coach to be fired at 20-36 after expectations have been so high, but if you look at what's happened to him, I mean, no quarter. You got the Zach Wilson. And by the way, it was going to be Trevor Lawrence, now Zach Wilson. They would have been better with Trevor Lawrence, make no mistake about it. And Trevor probably would have been better with them. Maybe. But the Zach Wilson thing was a killer. I mean, Joe Douglas is as much at fault for this as anybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Joe Douglas and Woody Johnson allowed Aaron Rodgers to take over the building. I got a buddy of mine who got scapegoated for the Zach Wilson stuff. They let him go because he was somebody they had. Well, somebody's got to go, so Rex got. And they tried to scapegoat him behind the scenes for Zach Wilson stuff. That was the dumbest thing in the world. And obviously, that has nothing to do with Aaron.
No, but
it has to do with everyone else there who decided they were going to make that call, but somebody had to go. Joe Douglas, how's he still there?
The last time. Well, I guess you could say LeBron to the Lakers was a success because they won in during COVID. I don't count that.
Tom Brady going to Tampa.
No. But name the last time a player running a team was successful.
Oh.
Because Aaron Rodgers is running the team. And LeBron is running the team. And honestly, look at where the Lakers are now, doing everything that LeBron wanted.
Yeah, it's,
and
it's,
look at where the Rockets ended up doing everything to James Harden wanted.
No, yeah, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. They're not working from. They're working from a me standpoint and not a team standpoint. They don't know all the ins and outs. They don't know the ins and outs on salary cap.
They don't.
Yeah, LeBron has been a disaster in terms of the players he's wanted in, the coaches he's had in. Aaron Rodgers bringing in just his friends, just basically saying, I've got leverage, I'm going to get what I want. He's really turned it. You know, it's so hard for me because I really, truly believe he's the most talented quarterback that's ever played the game. But man, oh man, has he hurt his legacy over the last 3 or 4 years. Just all the weird stuff with the COVID. Just say you're not vaccinated or whatever. Don't lie. The stuff with how he exited Green Bay, the stuff that's been here with the Jets, not showing up in this off season, you know, and he always acts like he's so appalled that, you know, Robert Saleh brought up him not being there in the off season. Aaron's like, whoa, why are you putting our personal business out there? It's a team. You're the quarterback.
Yeah.
You didn't play last year. He's got to address this stuff. So I don't know. I'm glad we don't have that. Anytime we talk about another team and issues, I'm glad we don't have that.
We had the chemistry pours.
We've had James Harden and running things.
Oh,
Daryl
Morey, it was awful.
Kowtowing to James. It was atrocious because you knew the wins really didn't matter, that it was always going to be just this nightmare. And ever since James left, he's been trouble wherever he's been. Sometimes small, like with the Nets, and sometimes major issues, like with Philadelphia. It's an awful situation to be in. It's awful to have a team that's awful, like the Astros, who previously, you know, were 100 loss. It's like baseball didn't matter in this city at all for several years. It's awful to have a team like the Texans that had the Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien stuff, where just horrific insolence and incompetence had literally kidnapped an entire organization. And luckily, I think we're out of it with all three of them.
All of them. Well, we got strong head coaches, Espada notwithstanding, you know, with Ime and with D'Amico, and we've got strong GMs in all of them. Dana, I think, is a pretty good strong GM as well, and hopefully he takes the reins and takes it away from people that shouldn't be making decisions. So that all said, you like the Jets against the Bills this week? If the Jets beat the Bills, they're tied for first in the division. In a crappy division. That's the crappiest division in football right now.
Well, you didn't expect Tua to get hurt. Well, maybe you did.
Of course I did.
Yeah.
Tua always gets hurt.
But so the Jets are like the Dolphins did win this weekend. So, yeah, I still like the Bills. Looks like the Bills. I think the Bills can soar. Not really. I actually don't.
No.
I'm trying to talk myself on the Bills, but I really don't, because that defense is so good.
And Josh Allen against the Jets defense.
Nathaniel Hackett still calls plays.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But remember, look at what they did in Green Bay and how good they were. That was a little while ago, though. Aaron Rodgers is not that same guy. He's not the same guy. Boy, he looks old out there. He does look old.
He moves fine. But some of the throws and the underthrows have been just really bad.
Yep. All right, 7-3. We're gonna try to hit the clock on time.
You trying to tell me that age is getting a player again?
Yep.
That it still is undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
It gets everybody.
Yep.
And guess what? It's getting Paul Goldschmidt. So yesterday we talked about the rumor about him and the Astros. He's 37, and the decline is right there on paper. If you buy into a declining, aging player, then you get what you deserve.
We can't let the first baseman make the first baseman choices anymore. The old first baseman can't do that anymore. Please, please do not go get a 37-year-old.
Trust me on this one, Jim.
That's had his lowest OPS.
You got to trust me on this, Jim.
No. Paul Goldschmidt, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, yes.
Two years ago, he was 115. Yeah. It happens that fast.
It does. I guess. Jose Abreu? I guess.
Yeah, it happens that fast.
All right. You know what happens
Maybe
fast,
Justin
too?
Justin Verlander.
You get engaged. And if you get engaged, where do you go?
Zadig Jewelers. And Zadig's got a really cool event coming up. Their Breitling watch is coming in and doing a version of their watch for the Texans. It's going to be super cool. You know, Zadig Jewelers has been in this market for over 40 years. And it's a family run business. The diamond selection they have is above anything that you'll find here in the city of Houston. If you're looking for a diamond engagement ring, no one's going to have the selection of loose diamonds, the selection of settings, the selection of primary makers and designers of the band. But you can also do whatever you want to do for your wedding engagement ring. This is a huge time when engagements start happening in the fall. You felt it outside. If you haven't been outside, it's nice and cool. Feels great. This is when people start to decide that they want to get engaged and do something special and have a cameraman out there and the whole nine yards. Did you know Exotic Jewelers? That's their jam. That they do that up on the second floor. Their entire second floor is dedicated to the engagement and the bride. So make sure that you stop by 1801 Post Oak Boulevard and experience it for yourself, the difference in the city's largest and most well-known and most popular jeweler, Exotic Jewelers.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. D'Amico Ryans met the media the other day. Now, Dell, let's get his explanation on the throw instead of the run at the end of the game. But he also, John McClain at the end, did you see it? Did you happen to see John McClain's question?
Hey, D'Amico, why did Robert Woods catch a punt?
Wait, on the 2 yard line? Right now?
No, buddy. He still goes. I don't know.
Well, no, but he's got it. Somebody's got to be paying him.
Well, I don't know. Maybe somebody's paying him. Maybe not. He can
Who
do whatever.
Want to go?
That's what he loves to do. What do you mean he's been doing it for 50 years?
Charlie Polillo goes to Astros yes. every day.
Yes. Yeah. So that's what they like to do. But
what about retiring? Mark Berman retired, and all he does is tweet about sports.
That's all he does is go to, I know, events.
And John McClain, I'm retired.
Okay.
At all the games. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're retired, and you still come in here.
Yeah. Every day.
You kind of do a retirement tour.
Like yes.
What did you do yesterday?
What did I do yesterday? I played golf.
Huh. What? Did you have any drinks?
Yeah. Drink. Yeah, Coors Light. I didn't have drinks. I had Coors Lights.
Drinks and played golf.
I had
golf.
My
sustenance. It's kind of like you retired sustenance. Yesterday.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I'm going to retire today, too. Yeah. My wife is in L.A., so.
This is how people in Houston retire. You retire in word.
Well.
And then, but the difference is you keep getting paid, and Mark Berman. He retired and still just does sports for free.
No, but he does. Somebody is paying him. He's
Mark Berman?
Yeah. He's working for somebody part-time, just a part-time gig.
As sports?
He's doing Paralegal? Promotional stuff. He's doing some promotional stuff.
Like like Abigail does?
And no, they, no, no,
at
no,
the
no,
table
no.
giving out koozies and stuff?
No, he's not giving out koozies at the table. No, Mark Berman, with all of his followers, has a big following, so he's promoting something. Oh, I forget what it was. I saw him at Huffy's, at our get-together for Huffy.
So he's not fending off men double his age, asking about their lives, like Abigail might have to do.
Yeah.
He's not, hey, what are you doing? Well, I'm just here with the radio
not
station.
Not just Abigail.
Well, it's a lot of them. Yeah, I'm just using the example you use. I'm just here at the radio station. So, what are your plans in life? Well, sir, I'm just here to give out shirts if you'd like one. I'm not really here to explain what I like to do.
Do you have a boyfriend? Is there a special man in your life?
So Mark Berman's not answering questions like that while he's promoting things?
Well, yeah. Are you married? I don't know. But I don't know if Mark Berman ever gets that.
Is he working for an energy
company?
Are
you married? I don't know what he's – I don't know who he's – I don't know what it is.
I just know
– I do know that –
I know he retired, and I actually see more tweets from him now.
Yeah.
He's retired.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About sports.
Anyway.
No, I didn't hear John McClain.
So John McClain asked D'Amico, hey, I would play it, except it's just so short. D'Amico said, yeah, we thought we did a good job on punts. And he laughed and he ran out of the, literally ran off the podium. He was like, yeah, we did okay with punts. Bye. And he ran. So that was pretty funny.
2 yard line.
And every, twice. On the 2 yard line, he catches punts. I think they might address that this week. I'm not sure.
Nobody's tried harder to get out of that job than him.
Told you guys on Monday, that man was doing his boy a solid.
Yeah.
Y'all think Steven Sims is so bad.
I'll get you back, dog.
Watch this.
Don't worry about it.
In the group text, you think it was like, man, I'm not even active today, y'all. Say a prayer for me. I'll get you back in that spot, dog. Don't worry.
Yeah, that 15-
How can you get me back? You can't get me
just
back.
Just watch. Yeah, because that 15-yard penalty he got was soft anyway. He was on the sideline. Just get a little
chuck. Gave a little elbow.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, he had to be put in timeout, okay? Maybe he woke up a little bit with that timeout he was in. He was in timeout last week. I'm surprised he had the job. He still had a job after that, if you want to know the truth. After muffing the punt and then the elbow. I'm really surprised.
And then you saw who the backup was and his decision-making. Now you're not so surprised.
They were like, okay, that's enough. Okay, Steve, get back in there.
Actually, D'Amico wound up apologizing to Steven Sims. Apologize for what I did to you.
So he also had to apologize for why he threw the ball, intentional grounding, took him out of field goal range. Here is D'Amico's explanation on the play.
You know, we felt like they would zero pressure us. So, you know, of course, you would like to say run the ball, but not trying to lose yards there. Felt like with the pass, we can get a quick pass there to the side, quick pass to Dalton there. But miscommunication on the route between Tank, Dalton, CJ, miscommunication at a critical moment in the game, not clean enough, not good enough for us offensively. Like in that moment, like we have to be able to execute much better, and that wasn't good enough.
See, that's interesting. I had heard it yesterday, but it was interesting to hear him say that there was a miscommunication by Dalton, Tank, and CJ.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I there's no way for us to, unless Bobby Sloak addresses exactly what it was, there's no way to know exactly what should have happened. My guess is, I don't know, Dalton Schultz was running a whip route where you run in one direction, stop suddenly, pivot, and go the other way. I think Tank, maybe, I don't know. I don't know what.
Well, it's an option read. I mean, he goes down, and if the corner's on his left, he cuts in right, and if the corner's on, he goes out. I mean, it's an option between the quarterback and the receiver, and they botched it. He went in,
yeah, what
and,
did
he
Tank
threw, and he threw it out. I don't know what Tank was. I don't have no idea what Tank's route was on that play. But Dalton Schultz apparently went the wrong way.
But Dalton ran a specific route called a whip route. There was not even, like, maybe he wasn't supposed to. But I feel like Tank did something. Like, what was Tank? Why did he mention Tank Dell?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe Tank was supposed to stop or whatever. But it looked like he thought Schultz was going out and Schultz went in. Either that, or he just threw the ball away, which is also a possibility. But the fact of the matter is they shouldn't even have been throwing the ball there. That's the point.
No.
They shouldn't have been throwing the ball there.
No.
And that's is that – how much is that on
– the last play of the game could have been a – of course, it was the fact that you did throw and then bad mistakes were made by – well – not necessarily. It's about the same field goal distance that they would have had anyway. It didn't really matter. Matt actually would have been a little closer. So, Kyemi Fairbairn, if it's 50 or more, he's going to make it. He's 8 of 9 in 50-yard field goals. They could have run the clock down, last play of the game, kicked a field goal, and won the game like that.
Yeah.
It may seem like a little thing because you still won. Those things add up. You got to know what you're doing with
it. Oh, no. Clock. They could have absolutely lost that game because of that.
Yeah.
They could have absolutely lost that game because of that. So I watched a long form, just a blowing up Bobby Sloak, and here's why Bobby Sloak sucks. And
video?
Yeah, some video.
Yeah, I told you. Bobby Sloak right now, people think he's one of the worst coordinators in football. He's calling the bad plays too much instead of calling the good ones.
Yeah, right. And it's his fault on all his runs that he cited one example. And again, I mean, it's – And everything that CJ does is because CJ's good. Everything that CJ does is because CJ's good, and it has nothing to do with Bobby Sloak. So, I mean, we gotta calm down a little bit on the Bobby Sloak. Who is the offensive coordinator for the Longhorns that just got Greg? Who was the Longhorns a while ago when Mack Brown was
Davis?
Greg Davis. Remember how he caught it?
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness! And they won a national championship, and it was every day how Greg Davis sucked and how bad Greg Davis was, but the fact of the matter is, well, against the Vikings, they averaged 3rd and 12. Last week, they averaged 3rd and 7. Okay, a 3rd and 7 was the average that they had. That's long. That's not great. Mm-mm. Now, how much of that has to do with the penalties, though? I mean, you're being put, especially against the Vikings.
Well, against the Vikings, you weren't good, and you had penalties.
Yeah,
it didn't help. I do feel like though.
At Jacksonville, how many penalties did they have?
Yeah, they had a lot. 7 on the offensive line.
I think it was 3rd and 8.7 against Jacksonville.
7 on the offensive line.
It was
line
3rd and 12 against the Vikings, and well, they were just terrible. They had a bunch of sacks, and they did nothing offensively against the Vikings. And it was 3rd and 7 last week.
See, I don't think Tank should be static, though. I think if you can get him on the move, I think this offense would really benefit by more pre-snap movement from Tank Dell, forcing people to guard him when he's on the move. I think I keep mentioning Tank because I just think that Tank is a wild card that most teams can't guard him man-to-man. And if you're going to zone him up, then he gets the ball quickly underneath. Put him on the move and in motion. Use him with fake jet sweeps. Use him with jet sweeps. But do something to have an explosive playmaker. Remember, this is an elite punt return talent too. You're not going to have him returning punts this week because no one wants to get him because he'll get hurt. But this is a really special player with the ball in his hands. It's been proven before. So find ways to create concern for defenses with pre-snap movement using Dell. I think there are some things that Bobby Slowick can do. I think this idea of play calling is just the easiest thing for fans to if they don't understand something, they just say, "I knew that run was coming." Who gives a crap if you knew a run was coming? Guess what? Everyone knew a run was coming with the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry. It doesn't matter. You have to be able to stop it. You have to be able to, you know, you still have to be able to execute your blocks up front. And the Texans, for example, Kenyon Green struggled to execute blocks. Juice Scruggs has been very average this year. So, you know, there's still something. It's okay for a team to think you're going to run, or for a fan at home to say, "I bet this is a run." Guess what? If they get all they want to do is gain 3.5 to 4 yards, and it's a success. It's not like this is not Madden. There's a certain element of punishing teams and making them wear down by the fourth quarter. There's a certain element of setting up the play action. What you have to understand with Bobby Slowick and this offense, and the same thing for the Green Bay Packers offense and for the Minnesota Vikings offense and for the Miami Dolphins offense and for the San Francisco 49er offense, they've got to make you respect the run because a lot of what they do is based on play action. Literally, the format for the offense is you've got to respect the run because we've got to make your linebackers dive down a little bit or your safety come up because of play action. It's how the offense is built, and it started that way with Mike, you know, with Mike Shanahan, and Gary Kubiak used it. And this is nothing new. You've got to be able to run the ball or force the threat of a run.
So what do you? And by the way, they're not good. They're not good at run blocking. They're just not good at run blocking. So what do you do? I mean, you continue to bang your head off of the wall saying we got to run the ball, and we do it unsuccessfully all the time. We average 2 yards a carry. Bang, 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 let's do it. Keep doing it. You have no other option, though. You have to run the football. You can't put CJ in this situation. You can't have – but you put him in a worse situation when it's 3rd and 9 all the time, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8 all the time. So I don't know what the answer is, but they got to – you know what the answer is? Run block better. That's what you guys need to do.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Let's run block better. There you go. Time for you to talk about, you know what, who does it better? John Daspit.
John Daspit does a great job. John Daspit's a personal injury lawyer whose number one focus is making sure that you are taken care of and that you have no hassles after you have been injured due to someone else's negligence. There's no reason that you should have to worry about, you know, the medical bills, getting the medical care that you need. There's no reason that you should have to worry about how is this physical therapy going to work out. I'm not able to work because my lower body, my leg or my hips, and you know, I've got a broken leg, a shattered femur, or whatever the case may be. Daspit's going to make sure that you get paid for the time missed from work. That is going to come out of the insurance's pocket. The pain and suffering is going to be accounted for. John Daspit wants to make sure that you are going to have everything back to normal based on the fact that someone else was at fault in your injury. And it could be at the workplace. It could be on the roadway. I just know that Daspit has a ton of lawyers working on these cases so that they have a caseload that is a smart caseload, that they can spend the time on the caseload they need. And even so, they still work on the weekends. They still put in massive amounts of hours. John demands it. You can't work for John Daspit if you're not ready to work for the people. And that's what John Daspit requires. 713-CALL-NOW at 713-CALL-NOW or go to DaspitLaw.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. 737 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's go. You got the Patriots this week. Drake May. Dell, what do we expect out of Drake May this week? You love the selection.
No, why would you ask one of the generational haters of our time?
He really hates him.
To ask about
I don't
Drake
hate Drake May.
May.
You guys continue to get things confused. I hate or dislike the talk around him as if I didn't watch him for several years. And you're going to pretend like what we saw on the football field is not real? Drake May is fine, but the hype around him, get out of here. There's a reason that he was being applauded for being able to get away from center and hand the football off. Those are some of the plaudits he got in the offseason.
Well, that is different. His footwork was off. I mean, did they not have a quarterback coach at North Carolina? His footwork was awful. Everything he could, getting under center, he couldn't do. I mean, you had to teach this guy the basics. Now, he's got skills,
but there's no chance of him being ready. And the Patriots are moving in this direction. I don't know why.
They have to.
You're fine with being bad.
There's an issue in the locker room with people having any thought that Brissett can lead them to anything.
Get a taste of
anybody in the organization feels Brissett can lead.
No, including he was there as cannon fodder. He was there to take the hits until they figure some things out so Drake May will be ready. I just don't know why it's happening in week six.
Well, because they couldn't take it anymore. They just couldn't take it anymore.
Okay.
Because you lose the locker room if you continue to go out there and put up a 10 spot against the Dolphins.
Who thinks Drake May is going to put up more than 10 points against the Texans?
Nobody.
Yeah. What are you talking? So,
but at least you know what? At least you give them some hope. And you know what? We start the clock on the future.
Well, what? I get
it was going to happen.
I get what the organization is thinking, but the locker room has to go out there and deal with and play with him. Yeah. So if he's bad,
but the locker room didn't want Brissett.
The locker room's not going to want Drake May.
Well, the locker room.
Well,
actually,
they get a whiff of him.
Well, they're going to get a whiff.
I think they do, but what you do now is you're probably going to get a real scaled down version. So what you're going to see is a lot more Ramondre Stevenson, a lot more Gibson.
How much more? All they do is run the football put in a situation where they have to throw.
But you drafted him. You have to, Dell. You're acting like once he's yours, he's yours.
I'm not talking about.
You got to develop him.
Not talking about the future. But if we're talking about the locker room, the locker room has been convinced that Drake May is a better option. What?
The locker room's convinced that Brissett can't do it.
Well, they're going to get a taste.
Yeah. Well, no, there's a reason that they're going to be the worst. I mean, they're probably they're one of the three worst teams in football. There's a reason why they're not ready. I don't know if Drake May is going to be a good pro quarterback or not. I think he's got boom bust potential, but the problem is, once you draft him, he's yours, and you have to get completely on board. If you're the organization, there's a lot of guys on that team who won't be there in 2 years. Also, so
that's why I don't care if the locker room is upset. You guys aren't even going to be here when we want to be good.
Well, but I think that everyone in the organization, including the head coach, is on board with, hey, let's see what a different direction can do. And I don't have a problem with it, but you better be careful with how you build. Like, you're only able – I think the thought was maybe you could hold Drake May off for about 8 weeks, and now instead it's going to be about 5 weeks. So this isn't going to be an easy – like, the Texans fly around, hit – this won't be – D'Amico will show you some different looks. This isn't going to be an easy start for Drake May. This is going to be a challenging start for Drake May. So you're going to have to really keep things simple. But I remember the Pittsburgh Steelers keeping things ultra simple for Ben. I remember the Seattle Seahawks keeping things ultra simple for Russell Wilson. Like, it was wild. And these guys had way more experience than Drake May did. At some point, he has to start and play. You have to start the clock on developing in-game reps. I personally don't have a problem with it, but you do have a job to make sure that you don't put him in harm's way. I mean, he's got to make his mistakes. It's okay for a player to make mistakes. Failure is a positive in many cases.
Yeah.
It develops. You develop. You scab over. You learn.
Let's get Chris from the Woodlands in here, and we'll talk about this.
Told you couldn't listen to Patriots game. Mr. Haterade.
I'm the one trying to protect Drake May. What do you want to get him out there killed? You want him to get killed? Oh, let's see what happens. He's gonna die out there.
No, he's not gonna die.
I'm trying to protect Drake May.
Listen. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr.
Yeah, they're not killing
anyone. Been around lately.
Trust me, you've been safe for the most part.
We're okay.
You got to be more concerned. You haven't met that Patriots offensive line. A normal offensive line, I'd agree with you. That offensive line stinks.
Yeah.
It really isn't all on Jacoby. But like they couldn't take it. I'm telling you, they couldn't take it anymore.
Well, stop being cowards and take it a little bit more.
Take that.
That's your thing. I don't say
what
that.
You just said?
Wow, Diddy. Look, Chris, what's going on?
What's up, guys? Love the show. Hey, I had a comment before my question. Has Willie Fritz already canceled his interview after missing last week unexpectedly and having a 30-point offensive outburst? Has he canceled that interview?
No, he hasn't canceled his interview. It wasn't because we didn't talk to him that week.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
Hey, if he has any Lance superstition in him, he's canceling it 100 this week for sure. If he's got any superstitious bones in him at all. But my question is, what do you think Lance, I guess specifically, that D'Amico may do with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson? I feel like I watch the Chiefs game a lot. One of the things I think that makes pass rushers really effective, I feel like Will Anderson takes the outside rush a lot. And offensive linemen struggle, I feel like, with stabbing that front foot in, like, to come for the inside block. And so maybe if we switch it up a little bit, I feel like those two guys really, really rush hard outside. And then my second question is kind of like a personal question. Like, how does someone get recruited to college football? And I'll be a little more specific, now I'll hang up and listen. My son plays six-man football, and we played against a team this week in Northeastern. And, you know, six-man football, everybody's small. Except this kid ran through the tunnel that was 7.350. And I walked up to his parents. He's 16 years old, wearing the size 18 shoe. And I said, hey, have you guys considered college? And they go, well, we don't know anything about college. This is his first year. And this kid's running through people's demise. It's like watching Michael Orr out there. I've never seen anything like it. And I asked his parents, how do you get about recruited? How does someone get recruited that plays small school, high school football?
Oh, it's easy. You just go to
I mean, it would blow your mind.
Yeah, just go to a camp. Just go to camps.
Yeah.
Once you go to camps, you get heights and weights into a database. Send your kid to University of Houston camp. Send them to Texas A&M, to Texas camp. They trust me.
Yep.
Once you're at a camp,
they see that monster. They'll know.
Yeah. Once you're in a camp, that's how you do it. Secondly, you actually are saying something that I noticed this weekend too. Is that everything stays on the outside track? I'm not seeing inside spin moves. I'm not seeing the two way goes where you charge hard on the inside, and then off the outside foot, you push and make the move inside. I think they would benefit from maybe showing a few more inside moves because it seems like they're just being ridden around. And also, when you get to the top of the rush, when a pass rusher is going on the outside and he gets to the top of the rush, which is top of the rush is where a quarterback, his set point is established after the drop back. Once you get to that top, anything beyond that, you're going to get run around the pocket a lot of times. So that's when you work your way back underneath. That's what T.J. Watt is so great at. He never runs past the set point. He always works his way back underneath. So I think there are some things that those guys can do to be a little bit more consistently dangerous. But we'll see. I mean, it's their job to figure it out and get after the quarterback. Drake May's liable to hold on to the ball longer than usual. Rookie quarterbacks usually do, so he'll hang on to it longer. The Texans will get to him. The Texans will sack him at least four times.
Yeah, I think that, well, it's time for Will. Now, Will Anderson almost got to Josh Allen on the last play.
And yeah, he was.
It caused this, almost caused the safety, but almost ain't just didn't good enough. Now he did. He did make him. It was a pressure, and he was. He had to get rid of the ball.
Sometime, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Depending. I mean, it made him punt, and then the Texans got the ball back, and they kicked the field goal to win the game. So it was kind of a big deal that Will Anderson Jr. did that. But Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter have been two of the bigger disappointments this season. After a big game in week one, well, against the Bears, too, in the first couple of weeks, they, you know, it was like, here they go. They're taking off, and then nothing the last three games. Mm. Really, literally nothing the last 3 weeks. So, I have a feeling they'll have a big game this week against a rookie.
I do, too.
I think they're going to pin their ears back and just come after him hard. 746, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Oh, if they get behind the sticks and getting third and longs, that is a major issue.
If you are a defensive line coach like Chris, you could call in. Or yes, maybe you're a wide receiver coach or a running back coach, or maybe you could coach
any
guards.
Coaches.
Yes.
Any coaches. First of all, coaches go to the front of the line.
Always.
Women and coaches go to the front of the line on
and
this show.
Women coaches, holy
and female
crap.
Coaches are immediately.
Right.
I mean, we will stop everything we're talking about. 713, not you, David. Don't do one of your characters.
There's a
713-780-3776.
There's a story about a female umpire. Have you seen this story? Oh, man, it's a nice
back,
one.
Why don't you? That's something. I've never heard a story like this.
It's different. It's different, and we will talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, I'm talking about Chastain Ford. I'm talking about my peeps that I really, really, really respect. I love doing business with them. I've done a lot of business with them already, and I will continue to do business with them because I love the way that they do business, and that's not always the case in the car business. I've seen dealerships that are like, sell, 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 up, markup, add on. How much did you get for that? Get more. Whatever. Just work that deal as hard as you can. Make as much off that car as you possibly can. Never heard that at Chastain Ford. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. Let's see how much we can get you off. Let's see what the rebates that we can get you. Let's see how do you need this car? What are the payments that you have to be at? Not here. This look at this vehicle here. Oh, and it's going to be more, and we're adding this. Oh, and you got to add this, and then by the time you're totally like, well, that's not what we agreed to. That's not the case of Chastain Ford, man. I'm telling you, you're going to get a square deal. You're going to get the best deal. You're going to get all the rebates. You're going to get no add-ons. You're going to get no markups. You're going to get that vehicle at the price that you need that vehicle to be at. All at ChastainFord.com. You can do it all online, which you can't do at other dealerships because they want you in there and they want to upsell you. That's not the case at Chastain Ford. Or you can go at 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, Gina Quartararo. Gino Quartararo. Sounds like one of my peeps, but I'm not sure.
Ooh,
and you
name
know what
pops up quick on the Google search.
Yes. She's an umpire, a minor league umpire, and apparently there are some lawsuits now because of her behavior. A couple of minor league male umpires are suing Major League Baseball because of the behavior of Ms. Quartararo.
What could they possibly be suing baseball over?
Well, a second minor league umpire has now joined a lawsuit against Major League Baseball, alleging he was fired after he reported he was sexually assaulted by Gina Quartararo. Alexander Laurie was added as an additional plaintiff in a lawsuit by Brandon Cooper, who sued Major League Baseball and an affiliated entity last April in federal court in New York. Laurie said in the suit he was sexually assaulted on March 17th by Gina Quartararo following a charity event. He claims he was terminated in retaliation for reporting the allegation to the Association of Minor League Umpires. Apparently, Ms. Quartararo is aggressive.
Okay? That's what's being alleged.
That's what's being alleged
allegedly. We have not seen this. I don't remember seeing this. And we've seen this on the other way, right?
Well, here's what it is. Cooper said in the original suit that Quartararo derided him with homophobic slurs and crude remarks because he is male and bisexual.
Oh. Well, he also apparently got sexually, the allegation says he was sexually assaulted by her.
The Associated Press does not usually identify people who say they've been victims of sexual assault, but Cooper's publicist consented to his name being, in the original suit, Cooper alleged a hostile work environment and wrongful termination and or retaliation because of gender and sexual orientation. That was his original one. Major League Baseball is based in New York. The amended complaint adds an additional claim of violation of Title IX. The suit says, right to say, blah, blah, blah. So we don't find out. I mean, it could be sexual assault can also be touching.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that his pants were.
We don't know. We don't know what the sexual assault was, alleged sexual assault was. But we've seen this before, only in reverse, where the male assaults a female, and then the female reports it, and she is ostracized, or she is kicked out. We saw this at Baylor. We saw this happen. We've seen this happen in multiple instances, but we've never seen it the other way.
Well, Baylor was pretty rough.
Baylor was really rough.
Baylor was a lot of rape going on.
Yes, right.
This may have been because his original lawsuit was sexual orientation. So and then he changed
Here's the deal: is he complained? He was a whistleblower to the Umpires Association, and he got fired. And also,
that's what he's alleging.
That's what he's alleging. Right. And also, Alexander Lowry is alleging the same thing. He got fired because he brought charges against Quartararo, and he also was fired. Boy, they're covering up for Gina Quartararo. If what they're saying is that they're covering up, they're getting fired because they're bringing assault. She is apparently, by all accounts here, a bit aggressive.
Yeah, I don't know. After reading that, maybe so, but she also may have made some comments and maybe, who knows, grabbed them on the butt or something. I mean, that would count if he wants to.
Well, if you do that to a woman, doesn't that count?
So this is a get back. I see you're spending a lot of time on this because you feel like something's got to, payback.
That's not right. If it was reversed, if a guy went up and was calling her, calling her names, lesbian, whatever the case, and grabbing her, then we would have issue with it.
Okay.
All right.
I'm assuming, we'll let the legal process take.
Well, right. Exactly. The legal process will take, obviously will, but this is something that's been, it seems to be thrown on. It was in the notes in the Houston Chronicle this morning.
Well, are you outraged?
The baseball notes.
I mean, it is.
Are you outraged?
Huh?
Are you outraged?
I am outraged by the Umpires Association. Well, I'm outraged by the Umpires Association just firing people because they're making allegations toward an umpire.
This is like Eastern League. This is also independent.
Yeah. They're suing Major League Baseball over it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because this is the system. They're in the system.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, that's where the biggest.
Right, and Major League Baseball has more money than the Eastern League. Yeah. Right.
That's exactly.
Are you going to be following this case to its conclusion?
But these guys, they have a dream of being umpires, and they're fired because Gina Quartararo is getting handsy.
Maybe they weren't good. Also. And maybe because it gender, this is based on me being
gay. Well, it's coincidental that they brought these allegations and they got fired, both of them?
There's accusations of people trying to just play whatever card they want to when they're not very good and people get rid of them and they say, this is racially based.
Right.
Angel Hernandez. Here comes the card. And maybe he filed a lawsuit. Maybe they were getting rid of him and he's like, it's because I'm a whistle. It's because I'm gay. And then they said, no, we're not going to. Sexual assault in.
It could be. You don't know. I don't know.
Baseball, you're
in
trouble.
I have no idea. This guy could be the best umpire ever.
And Rob like, what?
Well, wait a minute.
Major League Baseball?
Right.
I'm out here trying to have the playoffs. What do we have to do with this?
Well, they're in the system. You paid. Yeah, you don't know. He might be the best umpire ever.
You are outraged by this.
I'm outraged by this.
No.
By getting fired because you're a whistleblower.
I thought this was news of the weird thing.
No, this is not new. This is not weird. It is. It's. I'm talking about abuse here. I'm talking about Major League Baseball needs to pay.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out exactly how.
What's his angle here? Where
you're riled up? Are you upset about the gender issue that maybe they covered up because she's a woman? Are you upset because baseball is firing people they shouldn't? Which one makes you more outraged? Which one do you think? What's the issue here for you mostly?
Well, it is. Well, it's reverse, actually. It's because, listen, if a man brings this up, he gets fired, and it's okay.
No,
but if a woman brings this up,
this is what I'm asking.
Then heads roll. If a man brings this up, now all of a sudden you're going to get fired for it.
You believe there's a lack of. You believe there's some hypocrisy going on.
There is a lot of hypocrisy. Okay.
James Brown's
today's world,
big payback.
In today's world, Dell, we don't sexually assault people.
Well, I would hope that continues.
I didn't see any allegations of sexual. Like he didn't in his thing. She made comments about him being bisexual and homophobic slurs. He never, like, in the thing that they had in the article,
suit,
it never...
In, this report says in the suit he was sexually assaulted.
I know.
March 17th. A specific date.
Yeah, that's why when I was reading this in the Washington Post, I was Googled it. It doesn't give a specific thing that happened.
I'm just outraged, that's all.
I know. You are.
I can see that.
We can't have this.
People have to pay for this.
It sounds like she might be Italian, too, and it's bothersome. We're getting handsy like that. Wait, I thought we were done with those days.
Yeah, the Italians are not known as touchy people.
No, we're not. Okay.
Very stoic to yourself. That's my disgusting people. Germans, we don't touch each other.
So,
there's no hugging.
Yeah. In this case, you don't think people are out to get the Italians?
Yeah.
No, the Italians are the troublemakers in this case.
Okay, I stand with JG. Jackie says, I stand with JG. Actually sad to see LZ standing with the aggressor. I do need to see a pic of that umpire before I make a final decision.
Well, you're not going to be
gonna
happy.
You're going to convict her.
I'm not going to be happy about Gina being sexist.
But Tony wants to know why we haven't mentioned a Seattle Kraken assistant coach.
Yeah, that first woman assistant in the NHL.
She looks like this.
Uh-huh. No, I saw that. Yeah. I saw it.
Look at the tone change.
Sometimes you don't have to see on radio.
You just hear it.
You just know what's happening.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I was like, yes. Did you see the little people chugging at the now there's a new team, Utah, right?
The Utah Hockey Club.
Did you see the Utah Hockey Club? There's little people in the stands chugging beers through out of their shoes. In Utah?
Are you sure it wasn't near beer?
In Utah, drinking, chugging beer.
I know. That none of that makes sense.
Well, they have 3.2 there. They have 3.2 beer.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. They do have beer, but it's 3.2.
But certain people cannot have any.
Right.
You can't have 3.2.
Well, these are
Where
little...
Where is this? Hopefully this isn't
these
in Salt
are little
Lake City.
People. I'm not sure
well,
that they're...
But they play by the Mormon rules,
They play
too.
In Salt Lake City.
You can drink in Utah, by the way. You do know that, right? You can drink there.
Well, not if you're Mormon. You're not going to.
Yeah, well, but...
From a religious standpoint.
I'm guessing they're not, since they were chugging out of their shoes.
No, and 3.2 might be able to get a little person messed up.
Well, it could get you. You drink enough, it'll get a big person messed up.
3.2 is maybe conversion chart an 8.1?
Well, I don't know. No, beer is like 6% or something like that. 5-6%. That's all it is. So 3.2 is less.
I guess it's still, I'm just doing a conversion chart on size, but I guess
it's the
amount in your bloodstream. Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter.
Right. Well, no, it does matter. At 3.2, you can still get messed up. But here's the deal is I just thought you would love that there were little people at the game.
No, I do love
chugging
that.
Out of their gym shoes.
No, I do love that.
I mean, that's gross, though. I didn't know little people were gross like that, drinking out of their shoes. Okay.
Well, it just
they took them off, poured the beer in their shoes, and drank.
Where's your outrage now that they're forcing little people to chug beer for
they
fun?
They weren't forcing them. They were having a good time.
No. So was Gina Quartararo. She was having a good time, too. And you're outraged.
Well,
and now all of a sudden, little people are being forced on a screen to drink beer out of their shoes for the amusement of people in the stands. And you're like, yay!
Listen.
Where's your outrage?
It's a thing. It's a thing at all games now. If you get on this big screen, that you chug, and the little people did it. Only they did it out of their shoes.
What do I Google to see
I'll
this?
Show it. I'll
just
show
just
it.
Tell. No. I want you to tell me what I. I just wanted you to tell me what I Google. Just tell me.
Little
no, just
people,
tell me.
Utah Hockey Club. Little people.
Little people. Utah.
Chugging.
How about little people, Utah?
Well, I don't know.
There's
That's a little broad. Little people, Utah, you're going to get a lot of different results.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City's Hobbitville, a.k.a. Allen Park. There's no evidence that little people ever lived in Utah. but there is a neighborhood in Salt Lake City called Allen Park, sometimes referred to as Hobbitville. Okay, Little People Utah Hockey. Now we'll try this.
Utah Hockey Club.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah. See?
Let me see how much. Let me see if I'm outraged by this.
You're not going to be outraged. They're not forcing them. They don't have a gun to their head. Chug this beer, little person.
Yes, this is a setup. This is a setup. They put two little people there, like, you know how they set up people who dance and do, and they do fake.
Or they have celebrities that are at the game and they chug.
Well, no, that's real. Yeah. I think this is one of those setup things where you do, like, you do a marriage proposal that goes wrong and the girl slaps him or pours beer on him. We see that all the time. We see the guy dancing. Next thing you're going to tell me that you believe is not a setup when the mascot throws a cake in someone's face who happens to have a clipper.
Just showing the little people, they might have got excited and said, watch this.
No.
And watch what we do here.
Have you ever seen two little people at a hockey game?
I've never seen it in Utah. It's the first game ever in Utah.
Have you ever seen two little people?
They might be season ticket holders. Why can't they be?
Have you ever seen two little people at a hockey game in Utah? I read something on Reddit that said two little people in Utah. This is a setup.
You're a terrible person in this segment.
They've never had bouncers throw little people and do all this. Am I wrong? They do this for entertainment all the time. We got to stop this. Like, we got to stop what Utah hockey. Everyone's laughing. Look at them all having a good time at their expense.
What do you think is going on here?
I'm outraged.
Well, how about you outrage yourself into a break?
How about you outrage yourself into underdog?
Underdog fantasy. Let me give it some time so we can get a clear break on the sound check. Hey, we were just talking about some football and some sports. I want to talk to you now about Underdog Fantasy. And what does Underdog Fantasy have going on for you right now? What's the latest and what's the greatest for Underdog Fantasy? Well, Underdog Fantasy is making sure that you have the most fun at actually, you know, enjoying your watching experience when it comes to sports. What are you doing right now when it comes to sports? Well, you are watching games. You're watching the playoffs. You're watching the beginning of preseason basketball, which, by the way, they have higher or lower totals on that. Your boy might have hit on Lauri Markkanen under 13.5 just the other day on lower than 13.5. You go higher or lower than the stats they have out there, and you can mix and match pro football, college football, playoff baseball, basketball. You just have to find the amount that you are looking for between two and, well, as many as eight right now. They have something called the streak where you try to hit a 10 player high or low streak. You don't have to do it all at once. And if you hit that, you can win like $50,000. Like, they're adding new features to Underdog faster than I can even keep up with it. It's incredible. And there are more ways to win big money than ever before. Pick higher or lower in your cash bonus game, and you've got a chance to make big, big money. You must go to underdogfantasy.com. Go to Underdog Fantasy and check out or download the app. And what you're going to find is that Underdog Fantasy is very easy to use. It's very easy to download. And you are going to be able to quickly step into the cash prize events that they have there. Use promo code Lance. They're going to give you a gimme first pick, and you're going to get up to $1,000 cash bonus on your first deposit. You must be 18 or older and present in state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Go to ncpgambling.org.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.